the MicroConf podcast. I'm your host, Rob Walling. This is a MicroConf Tactics episode where we pull audio from one of our amazing YouTube videos. This one covers what every SaaS founder must know about platform risk, specifically for SaaS. And this is, what, an 8 to 12 minute video of me talking to a camera with amazing visuals. And we pull the audio and throw it here in this podcast so that you can consume it when you're out and about driving your car, because you shouldn't be watching YouTube while you're driving, or maybe you're riding your bike, or doing the dishes, or mowing the lawn if you live in a place that's not covered in snow, like many of us do. I actually really enjoyed creating this YouTube video, and I think the topic is something that more people should understand. Platform risk is either regarded as the worst thing ever or something that people completely ignore, and I think the truth is somewhere in between. But before we get into the episode, I want to invite you to MicroConf Remote Early Stage SaaS Sales Strategies. It's an online event we're hosting March 12th and 13th of 2024. It runs from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on those 2 days, and there will be sessions all focused on early stage SaaS sales led by Rachel Liao, Craig Hewitt, Daniel Ebert, Sam Howard. I'll be emceeing, and we're going to cover strategies to boost your close rate, build a sustainable sales process, and figure out how to overcome the challenges of selling as a technical founder. We'll also have daily founder mixer sessions where you'll get to meet other attendees to network and chat about what you're working on. Tickets are inexpensive and they are available at microconfremote.com. Thanks for listening to this podcast this week and every week. If you haven't rated it on 5 stars, of course, on any platform that you're listening on, would really appreciate that. I haven't asked for ratings and reviews or anything for this MicroConf podcast, but the audience is not small and it's growing, and it would be really nice to rank for those search keywords. So if you hit a 5-star review, it helps other people find us. And with that, let's dive into platform risk. Almost 10 years ago, I wrote an angel investment check to a friend of mine named Jordan Gall. He had started Carthook, which was a Shopify app. And within a year or two, Carthook was growing very, very quickly into the multi-millions of dollars in annual revenue. He was living a Cinderella story of a SaaS founder, where he had a business likely worth tens of millions of dollars if you were to sell it. And then one day, he got an email from Shopify that effectively killed all of it. Platform risk is a real thing, especially in SaaS companies where we often build on other people's APIs and we rely on third parties to be the basis of our infrastructure. And so in today's video, I'm going to talk about what every SaaS founder should know about platform risk and talk about some ways to potentially mitigate it, or when it's probably okay to have a bit of platform risk. The longer version of the Carthook story could be told over probably a couple hour interview. There was a lot of back and forth with Shopify, and Jordan was in touch with folks on the inside of Shopify, and there was a lot of negotiation going on, trying to figure out a path forward. And in the end, the growth was slowed so much by Shopify stepping in and putting on what were some pretty unfair constraints that Jordan eventually moved on to his next startup. He wanted to be ambitious and grow something really quickly, and he did wind up selling Carthook a couple years ago, but he moved on to start what effectively could become a Shopify competitor in his new startup, Rally. Obviously, not every startup that has platform risk winds up meeting such a difficult fate and hitting challenges like Carthook did, but platform risk is a real thing. And not just if you're starting your company, but if you were to go to sell your company, acquirers will look at platform risk and discount your multiple based on that. So I'm going to ask a couple questions in today's video and walk through platform risk and how to think about it. First question is, are there different types of platform risk? And in my experience, there are. There's a couple. So the most common is what I call infrastructure platform risk. This is when you are built on top of someone else's product or an API, and there is no easy or suitable replacement for it. So for example, if you're a Twitter client or a Reddit client or a Shopify app, there is no easy replacement for Twitter, Reddit, or Shopify if all of your marketing positioning is that you are a Twitter or Reddit or Shopify app. And I want to point out here that let's say you were using a geolocation API underneath the hood, and there are 4 or 5 other similar APIs that you could switch over to. I do not consider this platform risk, because by my definition, it's when there is no easy and suitable replacement for it. And so if you have a bunch of APIs that do the same thing, just switching is a pain in the butt, but it's feasible. But if you have something like, again, Twitter, Reddit, or Shopify, where you can't just easily switch away and find a direct replacement, that's infrastructure platform risk and is by far the most common. The other type of platform risk I'm calling app store platform risk. You might also call this marketplace platform risk, but I think of it as 80 or 90% of your new customers come from a single source, like the iOS app store, the Shopify app store, the Salesforce cloud marketplace, the Magento app store, you know, whatever it is, that's where you're getting most of your leads. And that one is perhaps more easily replaceable because you could always add more marketing approaches, SEO, cold outreach to replace that. But infrastructure platform risk is by far the bigger risk, in my opinion. Now, in most cases, I think you have both, right? It's probably the most common situation where you are built on top of a platform, Shopify, Magento, WooCommerce, and you also get most of your customers from their app store. I think more often than not, if you have platform risk, you probably have a bit of both. My next question that I often hear when talking about platform risk is, doesn't every SaaS have some kind of platform risk? For example, I'm hosted on Amazon Web Services, or I'm sending emails through SendGrid, or sending SMS messages through Twilio. And this comes back to my infrastructure definition above. If there is an equivalent replacement for the platform, it's not what I would define as platform risk. Switching is a real cost, and it's a pain to switch platforms, but it is not business ending. I think a platform risk is when a single third-party company provides the vast majority of my new customers and or is the primary service I'm offering. So the question to ask yourself to identify if you have what I would call true platform risk is, if the platform went away, would it devastate my business? Or would I just need a plan B alternative that I could integrate with or find new traffic sources? These would be difficult things, but they would probably not wreck the business. Another common question that I hear when talking about platform risk is, how can I minimize it? And the most common way to think about it, which frankly is a mixed bag, is to add additional platforms. So if you're a Shopify app, you add Magento, WooCommerce, and BigCommerce. This is, I'd say, easier said than done. I have seen many founders add other platforms, and usually what happens is their first platform is one that they got in on early and they get a lot of customers from it and they have a lot of five-star reviews and they rank really well in that app store. And so when they move on to the additional platforms, oftentimes they aren't able to get as much traction as they did with the initial one. Now, that's not the case all the time, but I will say it's easier to say this than to actually successfully implement it. But with that said, that is certainly the approach I would be thinking about if I had infrastructure platform risk. Now, if you have app store risk, the approach there is to branch into other traffic channels. As I said earlier, it's to move into SEO or cold outreach or some other type of traffic channel to get around the fact that basically some platform has the monopoly on all of your leads. And a final thought on minimizing platform risk is sometimes it's okay to have it. In fact, I've had many businesses that had platform risk and they were amazing businesses. If you've watched much of this channel, I often talk about the stair-step method of bootstrapping. And step one and step two businesses are these amazing lifestyle businesses that are getting you to the point of being able to own your own time so you can focus on a more ambitious, full-time, standalone SaaS app. And step one and step two companies often have platform risk and that's okay. You just live with it. Maybe you have a few step one businesses and that gives you diversification, or at this point in your career, as you're stepping through your entrepreneurial journey, you realize, well, I'm only going to have this platform risk for a year or two or three as I'm relying on this company, as I'm trying to get to my step three business, and maybe I'll make sure that one has a lot less platform risk. Now, I want to be clear. I've seen many businesses ruined by platform risk, but I'll admit, given how many apps are out there that have platform risk, thousands, tens upon thousands, the actual number or percentage that are ruined in any given year is not high. I don't want to act like every business that has platform risk is inevitably going to be crushed by the platform, because that's not the case. But a common question I get is, if a platform cracks down on me, how should I respond? Is there anything I can do once they block my app in the App Store or they reach out to me and say they want 50% of my revenue in order to remain on their platform? And of course, the answer is it depends. It depends on what they are doing to upend your business. If the platform has just accidentally or on purpose replicated your feature set in their application, not sure you have much of a choice. You're not going to convince them not to roll out that feature. But if instead they are blocking API access, they want to charge you an exorbitant amount of money, they want to take a big chunk of your top line revenue, then there might be room for negotiation. And this is where having some kind of relationship with the people at the platform can be enormously helpful. Usually, if you've built on a platform, they have developer relations or developer evangelists, and having an in with one or more of those folks can make a huge difference if it comes time that you need to reach inside the company and contact someone. So the first thing to do is reach out and complain and be persistent, because oftentimes you will not hear back. the first time you contact. And so I know founders who have filled out contact forms every 3 days for a month or two before eventually hearing back by someone who's willing to engage, and their persistence paid off. The next step really is to negotiate and to say, hey, you're basically destroying my business. We've been partners for years. Is there something we can work out? And sometimes that works, and sometimes it's a hard no. And frankly, if they say hard no, I don't know what else you can do other than to get the legal system involved, in which case it becomes very expensive and very time consuming, not something that I would particularly recommend unless you feel like you have a great case. But I have seen at least one founder, a couple founders actually, save their company by negotiating. And the other option is to give up and move on. As much as I hate to even say that in a video about being a founder and being an entrepreneur and overcoming speed bumps, right? Turning roadblocks into speed bumps, sometimes you just don't have an option and you have to deal with it, and you mourn that loss and you move on to bigger and better things.